verses 9 and 10. Genesis chapter 21, verses 9 and 10. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Let's pray. O God in heaven, we pray now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. O Spirit of God, be our guide, be our teacher this morning. Glorify the Lord Jesus, we pray. In his precious name we do ask. Amen. The title of our sermon for this morning, and we'll continue this evening, is Casting Out the Works of the Flesh. Casting out the works of the flesh from our lives. This chapter begins with the birth of Isaac and the joy that he brought to his parents and others. And we studied verses 1 to 8. We noted some principles of joy, how you and I can be a source of joy in the lives of others. But for some, the birth of Isaac was not a source of joy. And this was the case with Ishmael and Hagar. And we're going to learn from this passage of Scripture how God deals with Hagar and Ishmael. And from this, we will know what the works of the flesh are and how we should deal with the work of the flesh in our lives. In verse number 9, the Bible teaches us that Sarah saw the son of Hagar, that's Ishmael, mocking Isaac. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Now the word mocking here, the base word comes from the word we get laugh, to laugh, Isaac. But it's not a laughter of joy, it's a laugh of mocking, a mocking laugh. You're aware there are different kinds of laughter. So the Bible makes reference to Ishmael laughing, mocking Isaac. And the first lesson I'd like for us to note deals with this issue of mocking, the mocking of the flesh. It means to scorn, it means to laugh at, it means to jest. In Ephesians 5:4, the Bible teaches us that we are not to be given to jesting. Jesting is the idea of making fun of somebody at their expense. Now that's evident in the world all over, but for you and I as Bible-believing Christians, it's not Christian. We are not to make fun of people at their expense. Well, Pastor, I'm just having fun. No, you're not. You're jesting. The Bible forbids that. So we see here that Ishmael mocks Isaac, the son of promise, and Sarah, the mother of Isaac, makes a note of that. Just like all mothers, Sarah is very sensitive to the needs of her children. And she notes that Ishmael, that would have been about 16 years of age, mocks Isaac. The Bible is full of examples of people mocking. Mocking those that sought to honor God. In Nehemiah talks about Sanballat mocking God's people as they determine to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. Job said in chapter 12, verse 4, I am as one mocked of his neighbor. In Proverbs 30, verse 17, the Bible gives us a warning. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Today we have children that mock their parents, make fun of their parents. Our Lord Jesus knew what it was like to be mocked. In Matthew 27:29 it reads, and when they platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. This mocking of Isaac was really a mocking of God. And this is the day in which we live in. The children of this world, the Ishmaels of this world, in bondage to sin, mock and scoff our God and the works of God. And Peter warns us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, mockers, those that will make fun of the things of God. Now, even as a teen, Ishmael should have realized that Isaac's birth was nothing short of a miracle. As he considered the age of his father, as he considered the age of Sarah, he was of age, he should have realized that this is a miracle of what has taken place. But yet we see that he doesn't give his blessing in any shape or form, but if anything, he despises Isaac and he makes fun of him. In fact, in the book of Galatians, it teaches us that he persecutes him. So this gives us the idea that Ishmael was one that constantly made fun of Isaac, and Sarah makes note of that. And by doing so, Ishmael dishonored the power of God in this miraculous birth. That Sarah, at the age of 90, had a child. It's really a mocking of God. He also dishonored the promises of God in this miraculous birth. He would have known that God has promised a child for Abraham and Sarah. He would have caught wind of that. I have no doubt of that fact. So he dishonored the power of God. He dishonored the promises of God. He also dishonored the provisions of God. The fact that this promised seed will be the seed by which all the world will be blessed. That God will provide a Savior through the seed of Abraham, the son of promise, Isaac. So we see within Ishmael's mocking, we see the principle of unbelief. The principle of unbelief. Unbelief makes a mockery of God. Unbelief is the opposite of faith. Ishmael, in unbelief, he chose not to believe that Isaac was the son of promise, and Isaac was born miraculously, and only God can explain the birth of Isaac. So the mocking here that we see from Ishmael was a mock of unbelief. May I submit to you, my friend, this morning, in dealing with the flesh, we need to deal with that Ishmael of unbelief, that failure to believe God, that God is able to do above and beyond we ask or think. See, that's why we're focusing upon the promises of God in our scripture memory. We want you to consider, what saith the Lord? What has God promised us? And then cleave unto those promises. And that little booklet up there in the foyer will cost you next to nothing, but it has over 1,000 promises. 1,000 promises. To encourage your heart, what God has promised, God will do. the mock of unbelief. Ishmael's mocking was a mock of unbelief. He dishonored the power of God. He dishonored the promises of God. He dishonored the provision of God in providing a seed through which the whole world will be blessed in a Savior. And we as God's people, in dealing with the flesh, need to be mindful that when we do not take God at His word, if we choose to live in unbelief, that mocks God. That is no different than Ishmael mocking Isaac. When you and I do not believe God to be true to His word, that makes a mockery of God. Ishmael is a picture of unbelief. He knew full well that the birth of Isaac was a miracle. He witnessed it with his own eyes. But he chose not to believe by faith that this is a work of God. And I believe that Ishmael remained in unbelief. And so did Hagar remain in unbelief, and it was their choice. Beloved, mockery. We mock God when we don't believe Him. Are we living by faith this morning? Or are we mocking, God in unbelief? Colossians 2:6 teaches us, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Have faith in God. When you and I choose to live in unbelief that God is able to do what He promised He will do, that mocks God. That is no different to what Ishmael did to Isaac. It was a mocking of unbelief. Unbelief makes a mockery of God. The unbelieving world mocks God. Why? They don't have faith in God. Am I right or not? That's why they scoff. They laugh at you. They laugh at me for believing this book because they have chosen unbelief. We need to be careful lest we find ourselves in the hands of scoffers. Their scoffing, their mocking is a mark of unbelief. That's why they mock. That's why they scoff. And as we draw nearer to the imminent, personal, visible return of Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us, Peter the Apostle said that scoffers will increase. There'll be more scoffing, more mocking of the things of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, the Bible teaches us. Unbelief makes a mockery of God. And child of God, as we consider dealing with the flesh, that sinful nature within us, let's address that Ishmael. Is there some unbelief within our hearts? Is there some questioning within our hearts that God will do what He has promised He will do? That's Ishmael. That's unbelief. That's mocking God. Ishmael mocked Isaac in unbelief. Dishonored the power of God. He dishonored the promises of God. He dishonored the provisions of God. Mocking. The mock of unbelief needs to be dealt with. All faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, the Bible teaches us. And that's why our first study in our life stage classes deals with the issue of the word of God. See, if we can get you in the word of God, your faith will grow. Amen. Your faith will grow. It'll be strengthened. And if your faith grows, then you will be more honorable to God, and God will protect you from being found guilty of being an Ishmael and mocking in unbelief. Mockery. The mocking of God. The mocking of His promises. The mocking of His power. Oh yes, we're quick to point the finger at the world. Oh, they mock God with their unbelief. Well, are you mocking God with your unbelief? God's giving you a promise. Are you mocking God by choosing not to believe that God will do what He said He would do? But my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not have want, need. Do we mock God in unbelief and questioning that God will provide for His fold? Oh, we can be just as guilty in mocking God with our unbelief as people outside of these walls mock God because they choose not to believe. So in dealing with the flesh, let's first and foremost deal with that mocking. Unbelief makes a mockery of God. But faith pleases God. Faith pleases God. And as we read on verse number 10, please, we note the mocking. Deal with the mocking of the flesh, unbelief in our lives. That's where we need to begin. But note here in verse number 10, the Bible teaches us that Sarah said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Now the second principle I'd like for us to note this morning is that not only must we deal with the mocking of the flesh, unbelief, the Ishmael that can creep into your heart and my heart from time to time and question God and question that God will do what He said He would do. But secondly, this morning I'd like to encourage you that we must obey the mandate to deal with the flesh. We must obey the mandate, the command to deal with the flesh. See, here in verse 10, Sarah asked Abraham to tell Hagar and Ishmael to leave, to move out. My friend, this morning, the flesh, the sinful nature, needs to be dealt with in regard to salvation, and needs to be dealt with in regard to sanctification, living a holy life. And Sarah reasoned that Ishmael has nothing in common with Isaac. One was the son of a slave. Isaac was the son of a free woman, an heir of Abraham and Sarah. So Sarah stated to Abraham, listen, Ishmael, Isaac, they have nothing in common. Only Isaac is an heir. Ishmael is not an heir of your blessing. Ishmael and Hagar must go. They had nothing in common. And this mandate to cast out the bondwoman Hagar and her son Ishmael has a New Testament application for us. Now you might be thinking this morning, Pastor, her attitude, Sarah's attitude seems to be very harsh. Her son's been mocked, and she pleads with her husband, they need to go. They can no longer live with us. And that might seem harsh, but we will see that God takes side with Sarah and declares that she was right. And that what she said was the right thing to do. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4 to prove that point. Galatians chapter 4. Note then verse 28. Let's back up. Go to verse 21. Let's read verses 21 to 23 for now. Tell me, Galatians 4, 21, tell me ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, The one by a bondwoman, a slave. The other by a free woman, Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, physically, was a physical effort, natural. But he of the free woman, Sarah, was by promise. It was miraculous. Note verse 24, which things are an allegory. They have a spiritual meaning. Ishmael, Isaac. Hagar, Sarah. There is a spiritual meaning here. For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Now, just like the son of bondage persecuted the son of promise, note then verse 29, but as then he which was born after the flesh, Ishmael, persecuted he that was born after the spirit, Isaac, even so it is now. So God uses Ishmael, Isaac, to teach us some spiritual lessons. And the initial lesson is that we have between Ishmael and Isaac the battle between law, attaining salvation by law, by works, as opposed to obtaining salvation by grace through faith. Are we saved by the works of the law or by grace through faith? See, Ishmael represented the law, an allegory, born physically into this world under the condemnation of the law. That's verses 24 and 25. And the law cannot save us from sin. In fact, the law condemns us as sinners. Note then chapter 3, verse 24. Galatians 3, 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, to reveal to us that we have a need that we might be justified by faith. So we are not saved from sin by keeping the law. The law reveals that we are sinful and that we cannot meet the demands of the law. We are bound by sin. So we must seek salvation by another means. And that's why chapter 3 verse 24 ends with, and we might be justified by faith. So the Ten Commandments per se in Exodus chapter 20 reveal to all of us that we are sinners. We are all sinners and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. The law is our schoolmaster to reveal to you and I that we are sinful and we need a Savior. And that Savior is not obtained by trying to keep the law, because the law condemns us. We are bound to sin. Ishmael was the son of bondage. We are bound to sin from birth. In sin did my mother conceive me, the Bible teaches us. But we can be delivered, and we are delivered by faith in the promised seed, Isaac. Through the seed of Isaac, God provides a remedy for our sin. The law cannot save us from sin. It condemns us. But by faith, we are delivered from the demands of the law because of a spiritual rebirth in the person of Jesus Christ. Note there in verse number 25, it talks about Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. The Apostle Paul uses the analogy of the Roman Empire holding captive Jerusalem and Israel under its domain in bondage. But note then verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free. Sarah, Isaac, which is the mother of us all. So it talks about bondage as opposed to freedom, grace. So by faith we are delivered from the demands of the law because we have been born again. We're born again through the Word of God. And for those of us that have asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be our own personal Savior, we are now the children of promise. We've had a spiritual rebirth into God's family. And that's why verse 28 reads, now, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. We are children of promise by faith in Jesus Christ. So Ishmael was conceived by physical means, by works, the works of the flesh. Sarah said to Abraham, I want a son. Have a son for me through Hagar, a work of the flesh. But Isaac was a work of the Spirit. Isaac was a supernatural working of God. And that's the difference between works for salvation, Ishmael, or faith for salvation through the son of Isaac, the Lord Jesus Christ. There was that ultimate promised seed would save man from sin. So this book of Galatians deals with the mixing of law plus faith. And God tells us it's either one or the other. Go to Romans chapter 11, please. Romans chapter 11, verse 6. Note what the Bible teaches. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So the Bible is saying either you are saved by works, or you are saved by faith. Either you are a child of Ishmael, or you are a child of Isaac. One is natural, man's efforts, man's works. The other is spiritual, a miracle, a rebirth. It's either one or the other. And this book of Galatians deals with a mixing of law plus faith. And God tells us here in Romans 11:6, as we've read, it's either one or the other. Either you are saved from sin by works, or you are saved from sin by faith. And Galatians 3:24, as we have already read, the law is our schoolmaster, our school principal, our teacher, leading us to Christ, that we have nothing within ourselves that warrants us God's approval. We are sinners. We are condemned. We are in bondage to sin, and we need Christ. And it's faith in Christ that delivers us and sets us free. And Jesus Christ said, if the Son shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed. Praise God for that. We are saved by grace. Through faith, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sinners. My friend this morning, you are a sinner and you need a Savior. Oh, but Pastor, I'm not too bad. It's not true. You're rotten. You're a rotten, filthy sinner. Just reflect upon the Ten Commandments. That condemns all of us as sinners. We're sinners, we're under bondage without Christ. But praise God that when Jesus Christ, the Son of promise, through the line of Abraham, through the line of Isaac, came into the sin-cursed earth and went to an old rugged cross, Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save what? Sinners, not good people. Sinners, sinners. You must admit that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. You are a son of Ishmael, spiritually speaking. You are in bondage to sin and you need deliverance. That deliverance is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ alone. The book of Galatians is all about the fact that it's either of works or it's of faith. Can't mesh the two together. Because the heresy that Paul the Apostle deals with, and he calls it another gospel in chapter 1, is this mixing of faith and works for salvation. Exactly what the Roman Catholics do. They won't deny that, yes, it's faith in Jesus Christ plus the sacraments. That's faith and works. That's another gospel. The Seventh-day Adventists are no different. They would say, oh, yes, I'm saved by faith. But you've got to keep the Sabbath. Faith and works. That's another gospel. And the Bible teaches us it's either of works or it's of faith. And in Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. In verses 8 and 9. Summed up beautifully. Let's read it together after 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. 1 and 2. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And all of God's people said, amen for that. We're not saved by works, because you have no guarantee in that regard that your works are good enough to warrant the blessing of God. I grew up thinking that my works, hopefully my good works will outweigh my bad works. And even as a 14-year-old kid, I questioned whether my good would outweigh my bad. And beloved, your good will never outweigh your bad, because you are bad, bad, bad. You are a sinner. And you are in bondage to sin. And the only one that can break those shackles is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Of the seed of Abraham, of the seed of Isaac, came into the world and died for our sins. And was buried. And on the third day he arose from the dead. And faith in him alone. Faith in Jesus Christ alone. For by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through works. No. For by grace are you saved through faith. Are you saved this morning? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? See, this contrast between Ishmael and Isaac, the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 4:24, which things are an allegory. The difference between seeking God's approval through works by meeting the demands of the law, or seeking God's approval through God's promised seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you. I have the approval of God the Father, not based upon my works, but based upon the Son, the promised seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that's your testimony as well. Law versus grace. Works versus faith. You can't have the two together. Well, Pastor, I have faith, but, no buts. It's either one or the other. You can't mesh the two together. That's what the book of Galatians calls another gospel. The Roman Catholic Church preaches another gospel. The Seventh-day Adventists preach another gospel. All of the main religions today that propagate faith and works in some way, they preach another gospel. But thank God for the pure gospel. See, the birth of Isaac was a miraculous birth. It was a spiritual birth. It was not man's works, the efforts of man's works. It was clearly a spiritual work of God. That Sarah, at the age of 90, had a child. That's a miracle. That is a miracle in any language. And so likewise, our spiritual birth, the spiritual birth, when Jesus Christ said, ye must be born again, it's a miracle. And it's possible by faith in Jesus Christ. Have you been born again? Have you become a son of promise? A son of Isaac? Is Abraham your spiritual father? Well, by faith, he can become your spiritual father if you'll receive him today as Savior. Now, we'll continue this evening and note the other part or portion of the allegory. We've noted this morning the contrast between law and grace, works and faith. But also the Apostle Paul deals with the issue of living under the guidance, under the control of the flesh, or living the Christian life in the power of the Spirit. That's this evening's topic. I'd like to invite you back. But for now, I'm getting very hot. Christian, don't mock God. Please don't mock God. Believe the word. If God said it, he'll do it. Don't be an Ishmael. Don't mock God in unbelief. Believe God. If God said it, he'll do it. Don't be an Ishmael. Don't mock God with your unbelief. Whatever your need is now, hey, cleave unto the promise. Cleave unto it. Put your life on it. You won't regret it. Don't be an Ishmael. Don't mock God with unbelief. Have faith in God, Christian. And for those of us that are not Christians, my friend, you need a Savior. Jesus Christ is that promised Savior of the seed of Abraham, and he offers life eternal for you. So stop trying to earn your way to heaven in your own strength. Oh, my friend, that's not possible. You're a son of bondage. You've been bound by sin, and only Jesus Christ can deliver you. Allow him to deliver you from sin this morning by placing your faith in Jesus Christ alone. And then become a child of Abraham, an heir of God, of the seed of Isaac. All of God's people said, amen. Let's bow for prayer.